Good morning, everyone. Welcome to 9 a.m. service. Okay, so start off with a little bit of housekeeping. How you doing? Doing okay? All right. It's hot outside, but it's hot in here because the pulpit's on fire. Haven't we had some amazing, amazing messages? We are such in a good place of healthy. We're in a healthy place. And continually pray for Pastor Schaller as he returns from Finland, and just our summer and lots going on. We have momentum. We're not losing momentum. We're actually gaining momentum as we go forward. All right. So first thing, if this is your first time at a Greater Grace service, we want to welcome you. And if you don't mind just raising your hand so we can recognize who you are. Excellent. Thank you, sir. Thank you for coming. Wow. We have for you after service in our Welcome Center, we have a gift for you. And we just would love for you to receive that. Just fill it out. And that way we can know you. You can know us. It would be great. Second of all, just bow in prayer with me. We have prayer for one body member. Father, we just come before you today and we lift up Belinda Gentry. That's at Bayview. And we just pray that, God, you would just give her a special touch, her heart, her asthma, her blood. God, we just pray that you would just surround her with your presence. You would minister to her. You would minister through her. God, this season that you have allowed her to be there, just comfort her. And God, and then bring her out that she can be with us again. And we pray for anybody else in the body who are going through difficult times, whether it's physical, mental, emotional. We just pray that you would just be with them. As Nick prayed, God, just minister to them. We love you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, this morning for introduction, just this thought. If you can open up your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. And it's amazing, you know, we get the call from Jen or the text from Jen. And it's really amazing because it just shows the things that are on our pastor's heart. And it's just so amazing and a privilege to stand in this pulpit and to just grow as a believer. Okay, Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. We'll read down to verse 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And this is a beautiful psalm. And I was just thinking about it, you know, like this thought that Pastor Shallow wanted us to focus on the 9 a.m. is, this is the theme, the value of right thinking and meditation. And we know that there's a lot of meditation in the world today on many things. But the key is, we can ask this question, two questions. One, what are you meditating on? And then number two, what is the value of what you're meditating on, right? And Psalm 1 is a beautiful psalm that just lets us know, like, there is options, but there is a focus on what to meditate on. And I just have a picture that I sent to the AV department. If they can put it up, it would be really awesome. Okay. All right. How many remember this picture? Is Karen here? Okay. So in 2008, Karen drew this in this Bible college, and I remember seeing it. And it just spoke to me. And I have it in my office. It's been there since 2008. This is 2022. And it's so good because it says walking through Bible college, but we can say this, walking through life. It's not just Bible college. We can say like walking like as a believer, walking as a single person, walking as a family, walking as a married couple, walking in my job, walking in my school, walking in my neighborhood, walking in my nation, walking in the world. And it's amazing how that there's an entrance, which there's a beginning, there's the day we get saved, and we begin this walk. Ezekiel 36, 26, God gives us a new heart and a new spirit. But the question is, what am I meditating on? What is my source of my thoughts? And this is amazing. The background of Psalm 1 follows Psalm 119. And if you think about Psalm 119, what is it all about? The Word of God. The Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the Word. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 25. My soul cleaves to the dust. Not only when it's hot outside, but when it's cold outside. We have a propensity in our natural Adam to cleave to the dust. But what is it say? Quicken me according to your word. And Psalm 119 follows two amazing times in Israel's history. The book of Nehemiah and the book of Ezra. And we know that in the book of Ezra, there is building. And the book of Nehemiah, there is building. Building the temple, building the wall. And we can say as a believer, we get saved and we have a calling, we have a purpose. But there are hindrances to the call and the purpose of God. And how do we navigate, like think about, how do we navigate all these things that are reaching out, that are pulling us, that want our attention, that wants our focus, that wants our time, that wants our thoughts, that wants our meditation? And let's look at it. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You and I, we can agree there's so much ungodly counsel. Because the thing about counsel is, where is it taking me? Where's the end result of the counsel? It may seem good in the beginning, but that counsel has a mind and it has a purpose, and it's taking me somewhere. And usually, you realize if it's good or not, sometimes in the end. This was a great business deal, but in the end. This was a great opportunity, but in the end, I didn't see where it would take me. But what's so amazing is that the Word of God is a lamp to our feet. It's a light onto our path. And God says, I will lead you and I will guide you and I will direct you. Then it says this, nor stands in the way of sinners. You know, it's amazing because you can say, well, we minister to sinners. Yes, we do. We evangelize sinners. Yes. You know, we have an opportunity to reveal Christ to sinners. But this is not what it's talking about. It's like I am dwelling and receiving counsel from sinners. And that counsel is putting me in a certain way, a certain direction, away from the things of God, away from the Word of God, entertaining thoughts that are not from God. And then the third part is this, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, a scorner, a mocker, that mocks the things of God. And I think we understand yesterday at the lunch wrap, amazing young man, Pastor Andy Velitis and Bonga's son, Justin, we were talking about something, and I asked him a question, what do you think about this, Justin? And he was looking at me, he's like, And then he started processing, and I loved it. He's like 9, 10, 11 years old, and a young man processing the things of God. He's been taught well, but he's taking what he's been taught, and he's turning it in the mind. That's meditation. It's keeping it close, revolving it, turning it. What does God say? How does God think? What does God evaluate about this situation, about that situation? And thinking upon it. And it does something. Verse 2. We delight in thinking with God. Remember that phrase? Thinking with God. Not just thinking with God when it's profitable. Thinking with God when it's not profitable. Thinking with God. Letting God direct me. Letting God teach me. Letting God instructing me. Letting God correct me. Thinking with God. So amazing. And you know what? It's day or night. And this is what I was thinking about today. I was thinking of my life. And I was thinking of my life, and if we could put back up the photo. Thinking of my life in reference to this photo. Right? Nick talked about it. Home sweet home. But we know we have a calling. We're like the calves with the ark. And the natural propensity is to go back, but we're going forward. We're going to Jerusalem. We're going somewhere. In a dorm, in a family. A dad says to, like, let's open the Word of God. It will teach us how to think. And let's not depart from it. Let's turn it. What did God say? The kids, Dad, what did God say? We heard Wednesday night from Pastor Shibley about Noah. And Noah, when Noah worshiping the Lord after the ark, after the destruction, after all of it, the first thing when the doors open, he sacrificed and worshiped God. Brand new opportunity. Brand new opportunity to think with God. Brand new opportunity to worship God. And you know what's amazing? This is what happens. Verse 3. We become like a tree. And not just any tree, but a tree that is fixed and abiding by rivers of water. The rivers of water in the Bible speaks about two things. The Word of God. And it also speaks about like the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of burning. But it can also, water can also be trials. It can be difficulties in life. The bread of affliction and the water of adversity. But when a tree is planted by rivers of water, you know what happens? The roots go deep. This is what is happening as we are sitting and hearing the Word of God. We're hearing the Word. The Holy Spirit's taking the Word of God, putting it into our hearts, and we're beginning to establish roots. And maybe in the beginning we're like this. We're just barely hanging in. We're barely, like, we just don't know if we're coming or going. And any little wind, we're like, I'm afraid I'm going to fall over. But over time, slowly, 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 we realize our identities in Christ. We begin to stand. And not only do we begin to stand, we begin to have some roots. We're not easily moved. Psalm 62. We become stable. We become part of the solution, not part of the problem. And another thing happens when you have roots and you're healthy. You know what happens then? You start bearing fruit. And that fruit is good fruit. Strawberries in the summer. It tastes. People are like, wow, this guy, this lady, this person, this family, they're stable. And you find people gravitating towards you. What is it about you? Like, you're not moved. You're not fazed. And you know what we say? It's the Word of God. We are blessed people because we are taught well. We are fed well. The Word of God. In season, out of season. Morning, noon, and night. Every opportunity we're drawing there. Why? We understand what we have against us. Feeling of unworthiness, anxiety, fear, trouble. No money, hardships in relationships. We're not excluded from it as believers, but you know what we have? We have sound doctrine. We have right thinking. And it's valuable to us. It's our delight. Delight always has to have an object. You have to delight in something. We delight in the Word. And in closing, think about what it produces. Another thing is, not only do we bring forth fruit, but our health doesn't wither, spiritual health. We prosper as our soul prospers. We're healthy on the inside, and because we're healthy on the inside, we become healthy on the outside. And the first thing people see is our countenance. Like, wow. Like when Moses came from fellowshipping with God, what did they say? Put a veil over his face. You're shining. What? Where have you been? 6025 Mareva Park Drive. That's where I'm at. Huh. Okay, must be some good stuff. Yeah, it's good. Come go with me. I don't know. I'm like this. I was there. Sometimes I'm still there. But when I come in, you know what happens? The word of God, I hear it. And it works in me. And then this. I love this part. And whatsoever we do prospers. It's amazing. We know it's not us. We say, the Lord has done this. They say the Lord has done great things for you. The Lord has done great things for us. Because why? When we are in a situation and there's difficulties, and we say, you know what? Can you put that picture up one more last time? We say, hey, we know there's sentimentality, there's discouragement, sensual living, social living, but the word of God is guiding me. It's telling me how to walk. It's ordering my steps. Not just for a day, for a week, for a month, for a year, but for decades. And at the end, what happens? Maturity. It seemed narrow. It seemed, you know, thinking with God seemed to be unpopular. But what's the value of it? Maturity, health, solutions. Coming alongside someone to say, God's for you. They're like, how do you know? Because God's word says it, and I believe it, and I've been feeding on it. Really? You still believe the Bible? Absolutely. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will never pass away. And the person says, okay, I'll come. And before you know it, they become a tree. Tree for their family. Tree for their nation. Tree for their generation. Young people, Camp Life. We see young people ministering to young people. And we're amazed because of the value of meditating on the right things, the Word of God. Amen. Father, thank you so much. Father, we are such a healthy people. This pulpit for decades has fed us, taught us how to think, taught us how to rebound, taught us the importance of humility, taught us the importance of brokenness and meditating on those things. And though there are opportunities and though the wind is blowing and though there are trials and though there are troubles, Father, you cause us to stand. And Lord, as we think about our offering, about what it means to give, we become stable, not vacillating back and forth. I can't give, I can give, I can't give, I can give. No, you teach us how to think about finances. And you say, trust me, prove me, think with me. And we, by faith, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We give by faith. We give joyously. We give purposely. We give with a fixed mind. Not emotional, but a mindset. We learn how to think with God in our finances. So, Lord, thank you for this body. Thank you for the opportunity to give. Thank you for this pulpit. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for those online that give sacrificially. We thank you, Lord, that we are co-laboring with you on this journey in the Christian life. Bless this offering in Christ's name. Amen.
It's a joy to be standing in front of you today, and I'm going to reflect on those similar verses with you. So hopefully we'll walk away today with a living thought. And Father, we just thank you today. Just thank you for the provision of your word and that it sets us free. We know it's your words when they set us free. And we pray today that you just speak to us again, minister life, hope, purpose, value, conviction. Thank you for our church family here, faithful, dedicated, loyal, loving. God, just anoint each family, just provide and minister life, grace to our pastor today. We thank you, Lord, what a gift he is to our life. And we thank you, Lord, that we're alive in these days to declare your greatness. We thank you, God. And we ask that this message would do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so if you want to turn to Proverbs, actually, Psalms chapter 1 with me. And I want to think about as well about this thought about right thinking. Yeah, right thinking. And we know that we're in a day of fools, aren't we? I don't need to expound on that. But to say that the church is a thinking church is so needed today. It's so needed, isn't it? It really is, that we're thinking with God, and we're thinking in grace. We're thinking in faith. We're thinking in truth. And this is where our training really determines our effectiveness, amen? Because there's opportunities everywhere, isn't it? There's opportunities to share, love, care, minister, gather, bind the brokenhearted. And we see this here in Psalm chapter 1, where many happinesses is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, and nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So we see the progression of wrong thinking, don't we? We really do. We really see this progression where it's there's a movement, and then there's a stopping, and then there's a crystallization, there's a sitting, and a passivity that enters into the believer's life. And we know that there is an answer to that, and I want to focus our time today about delighting in the Lord. And I think we know what the problems are, right? We really do. Talking about them is not necessarily the way to solving them, even though we certainly want to define them, navigate through them. But I with you, love to talk about the answer. Amen? The answer is Christ. The answer is a great big Christ. Amen? Our message, our gospel is Christ. It's Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Amen? And if my gospel doesn't reflect that, then it's not the gospel. And what happens is we will be in one of these locations in some parts of our life. We will be, and maybe we are today. But there's a great answer. There's a great answer, and it's right thinking. It's right thinking. It is. That's how healing starts. Amen? It's right thinking. That's how transformation really starts, is right thinking. So how is it that we change our mind? How is it that we look away and look unto Christ? How is it? Well, this word delight is a powerful word. It's really a powerful word. And I want to look at this here with you. But his delight is in. Now, that's a key word there, in the law of God. In. It's the same word we see in Joshua 1:8. It's his meditation. It's his focus. It is that which he is feeding from. Feeding. Now, we all enjoy a beautiful meal, right? We enjoy it. We delight in it. And if we're smart husbands, we thank our wife for cooking it, right? Because you don't want the husbands in the kitchen. Well, maybe some of you husbands can cook. I know that's not my gift. I have a gift of eating, but not cooking. But delighting, right? We delight in a good meal. We delight. We're in the moment. We are in this place of recognizing the value of God. We're in this place of recognizing the value of what God has done. Now, it doesn't say doubt in the law of God, does it? It doesn't say rationalize the law. excuse me, the law of God, does it? It says to delight. excuse me. and I want to look at here Psalm 143. Turn over me with Psalm 143. There's so much that causes us to doubt, maybe. There's causes us to rationalize. You know, I've been thinking about that word rationalize, to add human reason to something that's absolute. Is that going on today everywhere? Or interpreting God on human terms? Or coming to a conclusion based on my own experience and I throw God in the mix, right? Rationalization. Sounds good, inductive and deductive reasoning. But that's not what leads to right thinking. Right thinking means I am embracing and agreeing with what God says, regardless of the outcome and regardless of me. Isn't that so liberating? We stick me and you and we stick all of us right at the front gate here, and God is saying, that's my place. I have preeminence. Delight in me. Delight in the law of God. Don't necessarily delight in the results. Don't necessarily delight in what's good around you, right? Because the good, anything good in our life is from God, right? But we delight in Him. And this is a real secret. This is a real secret because there is so much power in our praise. There is so much power in our worship. There is so much power in delighting and enjoying God in the moment. And it deals with most, if not all, things in our life. It gets us out of the way. Somebody said it this week to me. They said, put yourself on the shelf. I like that. I like that. That was fresh for me. Put yourself on the shelf. Right? That's good, isn't it? Get out of the way of God. This is part of delighting in Him, delighting in the law. And it takes away human reason. I don't know about you, there is not many people thinking. There's a lot of people feeling. There's a lot of people emoting. There's a lot of people talking. There's a lot of people doing. But are we delighting? I believe we're in a church family where you are here delighting in Him, worshiping Him, saying, God, this is your word. This is your message. I am yours. And the results are yours. And when we delight in Him, this creates healthy thinking, which creates healthy emotions, which we've been talking about in Grace Hour so beautifully. and there's healing and there is deliverance. Well, look with me here in Psalm 143, verse 5. So when we think about right thinking, we know that the heart feeds the mind. We know that, right? We know the heart feeds the mind. So we're feeding our heart today. We're feeding our heart, which feeds our mind. That's why we have a biblical worldview. You know, I read this recently. In America, only 6% of Christians, or those that call themselves Christians, have a biblical worldview. 6%. So I don't know what other, I mean, we can certainly hypothesize what other views people have, but our authority is in the Word of God. Our authority and our transformation and our joy and our deliverance comes from the Word of God, delighting in the Word of God. And this is a beautiful thing, is that we can focus on the author and finisher of our faith. And guess what happens? We begin to live in the verses that Pastor Eugene said. We have roots. We have provision. We have protection. And we have prosperity. Well, look at 143. I love this. My spirit in verse 4 was overwhelmed within me. a lot of things to be overwhelmed with today, isn't there? But right thinking leads me back to the Bible. Right thinking leads me away from myself and to the authority and absolute nature of who God is. I don't want to discover myself. I don't even want to talk to myself, right? I want to listen to God and then talk to myself in the Word of God. And then the Word of God changes us. Well, notice what he says here. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed. Excuse me. Wow, I got a frog in my throat here. Excuse me. My heart is within me desolate. Wow, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? My heart is desolate. You ever feel like a desert sometimes? Just kind of like you're chewing on the dust. You're just empty. You're empty, and you're just like, okay, God, I am like empty, right? And this is what the Word of God does. The Word of God is so powerful in our lives, isn't it? It says, I remember. These are big words. I remember. And this is one of the definitions of delighting, is to remember. To remember. It's a beautiful thing when you can remember someone's name, isn't it? I feel like I give people new names all the time. Right? People are so gracious, like, that's not my name, you know? Pastor Jason. anyway. I remember. Recall. What's been planted in our heart causes us to delight, right? Lamentations 3:21 through 24. I remembered your mercy. I remembered that your compassion fails not. And then what happens? I began to bless you because of new mercies. And I was not consumed. There's a lot of consumption going on today, right? But to the person that's thinking with God, what are they thinking on? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:1, they're thinking on mercy. They're thinking on God's compassion. They're thinking about the goodness of God. I would have fainted unless I believed in the goodness of God. Delighting is such a valuable and critical thing in our lives, where God brings back to memory scripture and words of life and eternal words of Ecclesiastes 12:11, eternal words. You ever been in a situation, all of a sudden there's recall and it saves you? And it's all of a sudden you're like, okay, no. And then you grab a hold of what's right and you say, thank you, God. Your spirit in John 14:26 is speaking and it's moving and it's delivering us every time unto Jesus Christ. I love this. It says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. These are three huge words. Meditate, to revolve in the mind. But then musing is, I'm now not only thinking about it, I am in it. I am in it. It's like somebody being in the water. They're not half wet or to 10% wet. They're all wet, right? Right? If you're all the way in, of course. But you're not half wet or partially wet. You're all wet. It's the same principle. It's like learning a language. I was remembering when I was studying Ukrainian and then Russian in college and thinking about just those beautiful languages and thanking God in those years when I had a soft mind, right? Learning a language when you're younger helps you, you know, there's a retention advantage for sure. But one way to help build fluency is to think in the language, right? Not just memorize chunks of it, but to actually enter in and saturate yourself and have it absorb into you. And then all of a sudden you're thinking in that language. How many speak a second language here? Anybody? Bunch of you. Yeah. Is that true? Thinking, right? Starting to process it in your mind. And this is where thinking with God becomes so valuable. It's not just information and facts or the accumulation of knowledge. It's a living fellowship with God, isn't it? So now it's no longer just the grace of God. Oh, yeah, that's something nice. No. It's a revelation of a person. And I delight that grace is grace 100% of the time. And I have nothing to do with it except receive it. Amen? This is what changes our life. We think in grace. We think in mercy. We enter in and we push through natural reasoning. And we say, God, I couldn't even come up with this even if I had a million lifetimes. This is so incredibly beautiful and so incredibly amazing grace. Amazing goodness. And today, maybe you are like what the psalmist says, he goes on and says, I stretched forth my hands unto you as a thirst, as I thirsted after thee, as a thirsty land. Right? You ever do that? I was mowing the lawn yesterday in 100-degree weather. That was I don't know if that was a smart thing to do. But at the end, you're reaching, right, for something that's cold and liquid, right? It's the same thing as a believer. We are reaching for God, and we're saying, Lord, I don't want to just know it. I want to have a life that is fellowshipping, and there's a great exchange. There's a great exchange. There's a great exchange. So right thinking is thinking in and delighting in and celebrating in what God has done. So we put ourselves on the shelf. Isn't that good? We say, okay. We look away from maybe what the devil's doing, and we look unto Christ into what he is doing. Well, I want to show you some interesting verses here. We can have an empty head, right? We can have an empty head. Ephesians talks about that in chapter 4, 17 through 18. An empty head, a head that is, there's nothing going on. Just kind of the nothing box. The lights are on and no one's home. We can have that. And it says there that it's because they're alienated from the life of God. I think of our country, and I'm burdened with you that this is a great time to church plant, isn't it? This is a great time to initiate in our neighborhoods. This is a great time to open our mouth without fear. Why? Because what's been deposited in you and I is so desperately needed. Because there's a lot of empty headers out there, right? Nothing going on, right? Or you can have a deadhead, right? Romans 1:28, bunch of deadheaders, right? Means there is no real life. There, maybe someone's given up and they just said, you know, it's not worth it. And then your words come from the mouth and from the mind of God, and there's a regeneration, a resurrection. You know, and Frederick yesterday had an amazing time there with a concert and just reaching out to people, and people are just saying, thank you for loving our city. Thank you for speaking life into our city. Thank you for sharing the gospel. You know, this is a great day to be in and going out into the highways and byways. Amen. We can have a dark head in Isaiah 8:20, right? Darkness, where we've been blinded. What do we do in this case? Well, we are delighting and meditating in the law of God. It's the law of God that turns me around, not me. I can't change myself. It's the law and the ingredients of grace and truth that can revive a broken person like ourselves. Aren't you glad that God doesn't throw things away? He doesn't throw people away. He doesn't say, you're too far gone. I've got to write that guy off. He's too far gone. No, he is mending, right? He, in Isaiah 42:3, he is working with the bruised reed, and he's not quenching that flax, right? That we're almost out, and then all of a sudden God gives us his thoughts. And we say, yes, Lord, I don't want my thoughts. I want your thoughts. I don't want the world's thoughts. I don't want my flesh's thoughts. That doesn't help anybody, right? I don't want to be a dead head, a dark head, or an empty head, right? I want to be with you alive unto Christ, alive. We're alive today. We're in church today, right? Feeding our mind, fueling our heart, and rejoicing in the goodness of God. Well, look with me here in Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. Thinking about what we just heard is reflected here in Joshua. You know, I was thinking of Joseph today. You think of Joseph, 12 years in prison. Some writers say that Joseph was in prison 12 years. What happened in Joseph's life for 12 years? It says that the king forgot him, the cupbearer forgot him, everybody forgot him, but in those beautiful verses it says God was with him. God was with him. What happened? Sometimes our trials need to dismantle our thinking because our thinking's wrong. It's too small. It's too natural. It's too practical. What happens? We see this through the life of Job. The trial breaks him all the way down, just like this beautiful rain garden we're going to have, right? Sometimes you have to go right down to the bare bones. You have to go to zero. And God says, I need to build you again. I need to build you again in Jeremiah 31:4. I need to remind you who's really in control. And I love that when you turn on the news and then you turn it off, right? You stay informed, but just a little bit. And then I want to be thinking in faith when I look at the world, and I don't want to sound like the world, and I know you don't. We want to have faith action. Joseph did not sound like Babylon. He didn't. And when his brothers came, what happened? He was destructed and then instructed and then reconstructed, right? With God's thoughts, with God's mind, with God's wisdom, with God's action, with God's amazing heart for his brothers in Genesis 50, verse 20. I mean, you read through Genesis 41 all the way up. It's an incredible story. And sometimes we, and not sometimes, but we often say, God, why is this trial in our life? Why is it? Why are you doing this? Why? I want everything to be right or easy. And just read Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is an interesting chapter because David was not sipping tea up there on a beautiful sunny day. He was being pursued, he was being persecuted, and he was being hunted. And he wrote Psalm 23. Where was David's mind? It was being shepherded by the living God. The living God. The living God. And that's why the great shepherd led him by still waters. Right? He laid me down in green pastures. These are incredible thoughts today. In Joshua 1:8, we see this, that our meditation causes us to prosper. You know, another definition for delighting is a healthy imagination. So a lot of imaginations that can happen in our lives. Projections come, a suggestion from the atmosphere that goes against God. And then all of a sudden our imagination, we begin to imagine a vain thing. You ever been in a situation where someone has thought you said something, you never said it, or you did something and you never did it, and their relationship is based on that with you, and you're kind of sitting there, you're kind of lost, right? It's a vain imagination. It's one of those things that is unregenerated. But God says, I want you to delight in me, delight in my grace, delight in my mercy. And I want to read this in Lamentations because it's just so good. And it's, we delight in the law of God, and in it, we meditate. We meditate. We let it absorb into us. You know, for all you tea lovers out there, it's hot water, right? Hot water in a glass, and you got the tea bag. And you put the tea bag in there and you keep dipping it, right? Or you leave it in and you press it with your spoon. And what happens to the water? What happens, right? It gets darker, right? It gets stronger. It's the whole idea of meditation. The more we let it revolve and absorb and saturate in fellowship, it becomes something stronger, stronger, and more alive and more tasteful. And this is why Philippians 4:8, we think on these things. Think on these things. Think. This is not a day to step back and rationalize or, you know, say, oh, it's getting a little too dangerous out there, or maybe I just should do this or that. No, this is a day to advance with God. Amen? Isn't that good? How many like that word, advance? And battles are won and lost in the mind. We're nothing. We're just a bag of bones. We put ourselves on the shelf, and then God steps in because our focus is Him. Our worship is Him. Our meditation is Him. That's a great thing in relationships. Christ at the center. Even if the other person does not have Christ at the center, you have Christ at the center. And what happens? Now we're thinking in grace, operating in grace, speaking another language that's so desperately needed to that person and to ourselves. Lord, we need dump trucks of your grace. We need it, right? I love dump trucks. They're so interesting. They're so huge. You know, the back goes up and massive, tons of grace. Tons of grace. Oh, I know that. Or, you know, somebody might say, oh, I know grace. I've heard it all my life. If I'm saying that, and I say it's myself first, I don't know the first thing about grace, right? Delighting causes me to worship. Delighting causes me to humble myself and have meekness in the mind and say, God, I want to learn it again. Teach me again. Show it to me again. I don't, it's amazing. It's like the surface of the ocean, right? We can love the ocean, go to the ocean our whole lives, right? But we're still learning about the vastness and the beauty of the ocean. It's amazing. It's the same thing with God. Our Bible is a buried treasure. It is an unlimited resource of the character and nature of God. This is what our world needs. It doesn't need a self-help program. It doesn't need this whole idea of fixing yourself, which is the mystery of iniquity, if I could just say. We need to fall into the arms of God and say, Lord, I just want to delight in you because it's all about you. And then that action transforms our dry bones, right? Well, I have to close here. I could go long here. I enjoy talking about this subject. How many people enjoy this? Isn't it delighting, right? Delighting deals with depression. Delighting deals with anxiety. Delighting deals with fear. Somebody said to me, do you fear anything? I said, absolutely, but I don't let it take over my mind. Of course, plenty of reasons to fear. I mean, but that's not the issue. We face God, and God faces our fear. We tell our storm how great God is. We don't tell God how great our storm is. We tell our storm how great our God is. And what happens? We begin to walk on the water. We begin to see the fourth man in the fire. We begin to see God in the distance, and we say, Lord, is that you? He says, I'm here. I'm here. Think with me. 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 It saves our life. In 3 John 2, it totally transforms us. Well, let me close here. Lamentations chapter 3. I remembered my affliction in verse 19. That happens. And I remembered my misery. That happens. It really does. But we don't stay there. We recognize our depravity, but we don't stay there. Our depravity teaches us that grace doesn't merit or demerit. It floods the most undeserving with the goodness of God. Well, amazing thing about grace, the abundant goodness of God, the person of Christ, the benevolence of who he is, it never fails. It never fails. And this message never gets old. And it's desperately what's needed today. Thinking with God. And this is why we can be a tree. This is why our leaf does not wither. And it says in verse 5 of Psalm 1, it says, God knows the way of the righteous. God knows our way. God knows exactly what's going on in our lives. He doesn't just kind of glance at you and keeps walking. No, he's 100% with you at all times. In 23:10 of Job, he says, I am fully acquainted with your way, and I'm going to lead you and bring you forth as gold. It's amazing. God knows, in Psalm 139, sees and understands us. And this is why we can think with him, because his thoughts are relevant, his thoughts are absolute, and his thoughts are healing. Well, look at this with me. My soul, in verse 20 of chapter 3, has them still in remembrance, and it's humbled me. Ever been humbled by certain thoughts? Nobody? Yeah, all the time. Wow, sometimes I think to myself, wow, that is a proud thought, or wow, that is such an off thought, or oh, that's a good thought. That reflects the nature and character of God, right? And this is what happens. I love this. Then I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. I have hope. I have hope. That's what the next generation needs. I talked with a young lady yesterday. She said, God's delivered me from suicidal thoughts. I said, thank God your life has incredible value. We need you. The kingdom of God needs you to walk in faith. Think with God, and the suicide thoughts go away. The bad self-image, the past, the anxiety of the future. You know what? God is so faithful. He is, amen? He is so faithful. He is going to lead you through into victory. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because I love that word as a parent. My son says, Dad, why are you telling me to do this? Because, right? That works one time or two times, but usually there has to be some sort of reasoning. But we, notice this, we are not consumed. We are not rejected, forsaken, because his compassions fail not. His compassions fail not. So just as we close today, Lord, teach us to recall, have a recall. I love that. In Psalm 139, his thoughts to us are amazing. God thinks about you today, and he's amazed. And there are innumerable thoughts today. So as we advance, as we move in faith, as we put ourselves on the shelf, which means, God, I want to hear from you first and hear from me way, way down here. I want to hear from you first. Then you know what God says? I'm for you. I'm with you. You're my saint. You are an overcomer. I will lead you faithfully to where I have purposed you to be. Amen? Well, precious Father, thank you today for these thoughts. And we want to delight in your law because it sets us free. It's the real truth. It's what really is valuable, has eternal value. Thank you, God, today. Thank you, Lord. Maybe today you recognize that your thinking has been wandering, or maybe you are alienated from the life of truth. And just respond and say yes to God today. Say, yes, Lord, I want to delight in you today. I want to just worship you for what you've done and what you are doing and what you will do. Just say yes to him today. He will realign you and encourage you and remind you that he is with you. Thank you, Lord. Maybe today you're not a believer. Maybe today you're not a believer. And your thoughts are all over the place today. And God wants to tell you today that he's with you and he's provided a way of salvation so that you could have eternal life. Say yes to Jesus today. Say yes to him being your Savior. Say yes to the work that he did on the cross for you, that he forgave you of all your sin. And start this journey in delighting in the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for your people, Lord. Help us in days where we are just maybe like scrambled eggs. We're a little bit scrambled. And God, just bring us back to your unchanging truth. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.